Got an interesting job to do this morning. I've known all week long the Lord had quite a stirring going on in my soul. And I'm going to do things a little differently here this morning. I hope you won't mind. But we have some very serious things to discuss. And church, we have a big job to do. There's a big world that needs Jesus. You can look all around you at the current events of today, and we can cry out to God for peace and safety. And we do. But we need to see God move supernaturally. We need to see a big God on the throne who is still alive and well, and we need to see Him move supernaturally. How many long to see a fresh move of God? Oh God, we want to see You move so everybody can join in and sing, no matter the bruises, no matter the scars, the cross has made You faultless. Pat, if you'll put these notes up, please. The first is a quote. In 1670, there was a man named Blaise Pascal. Anybody ever heard of him? He's a mathematician, a philosopher in France. And he published in a book called Pensées, which probably pronounced incorrectly by me this morning, which was a defense of the Christian religion. By the way, it should be noted it was published after his death in 1662. But in that book, he has a quote, and it goes like this. What else does this craving and this helplessness proclaim but that there was once in man a true happiness, of which all that now remains is the empty print and trace? This he, man, the corporate men and women together, this he tries in vain to fill with everything around him, seeking in things that are not there the help he cannot find in those that are there. You see what I'm saying? You following? Though none can help, none of these things he tries to fill himself with can help, since this infinite abyss can be filled only with an infinite and immutable object. In other words, by God himself. Now, many times throughout the decades and throughout the years, this quote has been altered a bit. But when you search and search to find the original, this fantastic quote, which gets the heart of the matter, were not actually the words that Pascal spoke. I just read you the words that Pascal spoke. But it's become extrapolated as a very good statement, but it's not necessarily ability to translate or to attribute it to him. There is a, how many have heard of this? A God-shaped vacuum, which is right in the heart of every man, which cannot be filled by any created thing, but only by God the Creator, made known through Jesus. Now, you will find this over and over again quoted and attributed to Pascal. But when you keep searching and keep searching, the reality seems to be that this was not what he said, and yet it is the heart of what he said, isn't it? Church, I want to talk about several serious issues. Number one this morning, I want to take a look at, we want comfort when God wants response. Come on, someone say amen or oh no. It's true, isn't it? We want comfort when what God wants is response. Today, in our world, so many people do not go to church. Or if they do, they try to find a place of comfort and short messages, positive pronouncements and performances are the standard and norm, where they don't blow a song like I did this morning, where they don't preach too long, too strong, or too loud, because after all, that's embarrassing the guests I bring with me, and it interrupts my day. I'm not saying that's what you think, but that's oftentimes, hopefully that's not what you think, but that's oftentimes what a lot of people think. But I want you to know something. This is not just true in our day. I'm going to read a section of scripture from Jeremiah. This was very true for what was happening in Jeremiah's day. He had the burden of God, and the people of God had turned to idolatry, and Jeremiah's burden was to do everything he could to help get them back on track and get right with God. But many of the local preachers and many of the local prophets just wanted to bring a light fluff of encouragement and comfort to the people of God, which brought, if you will, the scripture talks about shallow healing, and did not prepare them for the next move of God that came upon them. How many want to be ready for whatever God's going to do next? Amen. Then I can't afford to be anything but a watchman on the wall. That's my responsibility, and I hope you'll forgive me. I'm not here to step on anyone's toes or my own, but I am here to do everything I can to help us be ready for the next move of God. Listen to what God said through Jeremiah. Jeremiah 23, 20 through 32. Jeremiah chapter 23, 20 through 32. Watch the scripture. The anger of the Lord will not turn back till he has performed and carried out the purposes of his heart. In the last days, you will clearly understand it. What days are we in? I did not send these prophets, but they ran. I did not speak to them, but they prophesied. But if they had stood in my counsel, then they would have announced my words to my people. If they had bothered, basically, to take the time to be with me, they would have discovered the true words to speak. And would have turned them back from their evil way and from their evil of their deeds. Am I a God who is near, declares the Lord, and not a God far off? Watch this. Can a man hide himself in hiding places so I do not see him, declares the Lord? Do I not fill the heavens and the earth, declares the Lord? How many know that God's watching? Yes. Come on. That gets you in a good place with God, or keeps you in a right place with God, doesn't it? How many are glad God's watching? We used to teach children and teach in our schools and teach the next generations and our own generations, fearing the Lord is the what? Beginning of wisdom. And the fear of God means we know God is powerful. He wants our love. He wants our respect. But he's an awesome God, and you don't mess around with God. Someone say amen. Amen. He's watching. I've heard what the prophets have said who prophesy falsely in my name, saying, I had a dream. I had a dream. How long? Is there anything in the hearts of the prophets who prophesy falsehood? Even these prophets of the deception of their own heart who intend, watch this, to make my people, what is the word? If all you get is comfort zone words and comfort zone living, it's easy to forget God's name and God's word. By just their dreams, by which they relate to one another, just as their fathers forgot my name because of Baal. The prophet who has a dream may relate his dream, but let him who has my word speak my word in truth. What does straw have in common with grain, declares the Lord? Is not my word like what?
Fire,
declares the Lord, and like a hammer which shatters a rock. Therefore, behold, I'm against the prophets, declares the Lord, who steal my words from each other. Behold, I'm against the prophets, declares the Lord, who use their tongues and declare. The Lord declares, behold, I'm against those who have prophesied false dreams, declares the Lord, and related them. Thank you, Pat. You're doing great. And led my people astray by their falsehoods and reckless boasting. Yet I did not send them or command them, nor do they furnish this people the slightest benefit, declares the Lord. Our proclivity as a people is to gather speakers, not necessarily the specific church, but as a people, to gather speakers who make us feel good and promise positive things. But is that the word of the Lord in this hour? Certainly God has positive things to say and comfort to bring and encouragement to his people, especially when we're right with him. Certainly God comforts by grace and mercy and makes us faultless at the cross. But there is a repentance that comes first to activate that grace and a response to God. But we've taught people nowadays in our generation that you don't need to respond to God. You just have a loving God that loves him. You know how many times I've heard, and you probably heard before, you know how many times we've ever heard, Billy Graham is just a gentle guy. He'd never talk about judgment or anything like that. You know, they've all got this romantic notion about who Billy Graham is. Anybody ever watch the Billy Graham classic crusades? There was one last night. That guy was full of vim and vigor and breathing passion and response and calling this nation to repentance. We have this, and talking about the judgment of God. And we have this romantic notion, this pasty little flowery Jesus who walked around and didn't bring any reality to people's lives. Is that true?
No.
That's not true. That's not the gospel. What he brought was a reality so people could respond to God. And then peace comes. In those days, false prophets were loosed in the land proclaiming things that weren't true. And we need to get today in our lives and in our nation, right with God. We need to be right, get right, and stay right. And then his comfort and amazing grace is totally released. I want to talk this morning from comfort to crises. Say that with me, will you? From comfort to crises. Again, I'm simply going to say today is a departure from some of my normal presentation, but I feel a burden from the Lord. How many of you have heard of Pastor Saeed in the Iran prison? Our president and our leaders won't speak to Iran much about him or demand a release in human rights, and they won't bring up this man of the gospel. This is a dedicated, sold-out Christian who we have been praying for and need to keep praying for. Iranian prison guards holding him have reportedly given him a warning. Deny Jesus Christ and return to Islam or stay now, they're saying, imprisoned for life. Lawyers representing the 35-year-old say he's facing increased psychological torment. He was convicted on January 27, 2013, condemned to 8 years in prison. And now they're altering that to say that it's probably for life. His family cries and they missed him for Easter, and he says to them, I miss you too, but God is doing great things in prison here, and he's in a prison in Iran that was created for 5,000 people that now contains 20,000 people, threatened every single day of his life. Why? For preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. He said they had a great Easter in prison. They're starting new traditions. Here's one in the Philippines. Kidnappings, beheadings, and rape acts carried out by ISIS and people who are spreading their terrorism and demonic spirit. Make no mistake about it, it is filled with demon spirits that want to create terror and fear across the earth. It is demonic. Who has victory over every demon?
Jesus.
Come on, what's his name, church?
Jesus.
Pastor Danielle was kidnapped, and other members of his family. He was having a towel around his neck when they took him, and they wrapped it tight, the Muslim ISIS people, and wrapped it tight and said, we will clean your blood up with this towel. They've held him and taken him to a man who's known as Commander Tokoy. And he said, all I was doing was helping the tribes, and it's no problem, no sin to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ while I'm doing so. Now listen to the words that that man, the leader of ISIS there, said to him. Anyone who brings the gospel of Jesus Christ and upholds the God of Israel is our enemy. They were digging a hole in front of him, saying among themselves, I wonder if this is big enough for his grave. And one day they were praying, and his 10-year-old daughter was praying, and this man gets a call, this Tokoy guy gets a call from a loud booming voice, and he puts Pastor Danielle on the phone, and this man demands of him to know, do you realize we are going to take your life from you? And he says, if this is the Lord's day for me to go, then so be it. And the man says, well, it won't be today. And they released him, and they believe it was a supernatural answer to prayer. And he's relocated his family to another part of the Philippines, but he is more dedicated than ever to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ because people need deliverance. Last night, a motorcycle-riding suicide bomber attacked a line of people outside a bank in eastern Afghanistan, killed at least 35, wounded 125 in an ISIS assault. How many are aware, you won't hear it much in the news, that there's an ISIS camp just a stone's throw away from the U.S. border? A public interest group is concerned about what's going on inside, just inside Mexico, not far from a major U.S. Army installation. ISIS is operating a camp about 8 miles from El Paso, Texas. And there have been coyotes, that's the name for those engaged in human smuggling, who've helped move ISIS terrorists through the desert and across the border into New Mexico. And in the Mexican camp, Mexican officials who rarely go there because the area is overrun by drug kingpins, they found plans of the U.S. Army Fort Bliss. We wonder why. Why is this kind of thing? You know, you've heard the stories about people, hundreds of people, citizens of the U.S. and other European countries flocking to Syria, to other places to be trained by ISIS. And they're leaving their own countries, returning back to recreate terrorism and murder and mayhem in their own streets. How are they getting all of these people involved in this? Let me give you some potential thought here, folks. There is a God-shaped vacuum that is not being filled by God. Someone say amen. Do you realize, let me just give you a few statistics. I don't have them on an overhead. You're just going to have to listen to them. Let me give you a few statistics just on the economy. Just on the economy. Greece right now is still seeing unemployment at 26%. Spain at 23.2%. Ireland 9.9%. That's not as bad. But Cyprus 16.3%. Croatia 18.5%. Youth unemployment, however, those are the overall statistics. Youth unemployment is literally off the charts. 4.85 million Europeans under the age of 25 are unemployed. Overall through Europe, that's 21%. Now watch. Greece has 51.2% of their youth unemployed. How many know idle hands are the what? Devil's workshop. Spain, 50.7% youth unemployment. Italy, an amazing 42.6%. Before the Greek crisis flared up, debt to gross GDP in Greece stood at 113%. Today, a few years later, after that first statistic, you know where gross domestic production stands in debt? 174% in Greece. In Spain, was 40%. Now it's 97.7%. In Italy, 132%. France is at 92%. Ireland, 123%. Greece, 174%. Pastor Kev, what are you saying? I'm saying, church, the job is a big job for the church to do. And you come right home to America. That's not just around the world, it's right here. You take a look at when you kick God out of the schools and kick the Bible out and you kick God out of our streets, we don't want anything to do with them. We make it politically incorrect to discuss God or the Lord or anything regarding morality. What you do when you kick away the Scripture and the Bible and God Himself and public morality, when you kick it away, you have nothing but chaos in the streets. And God is telling America, it is time to repent. Folks, we're in a serious day. From comfort to crises. When we lack wisdom, it's because we've turned away. We just heard about 135 Christians in Kenya. The college had to shut down because they couldn't afford to continue. 135 Christians slaughtered. And again, I want to talk about right here in our own street, not a long one, but did you hear the other day that the one-year-old little infant shot in the head in the drive-by shooting in Kent on Thursday has now died of her injuries at Harborview Medical Center? The foolishness of road rage and whatever demon spirit was inflicted in that heart. And it's happening all over the place. This guy goes in and shoots his wife or his girl and kills her or shoots her friend. The friend doesn't die. The wife is dead. And then he kills himself. I've never understood, by the way, this is an aside. Maybe you're like me. I've never understood. If you want to do away with yourself, just do away with yourself. Why do so much mayhem to anybody else? Just, you know, I'm not for anybody doing away for themselves. I can just hear you leaving. Pastor Kev said today, just go home and do away with yourself. No, I'm not saying that. But I just never understood that kind of violence. But church, what we have seen loosed upon our land is a demonic spirit. Confusion, chaos, hopelessness. Church, we have a big job to do. Hang in there with me. From crises to the cross. From comfort to crises. From crises to the cross. Why try? All this bad news, Pastor Kev, why try? Well, church, I'm a realist. If we don't face the reality of what's happening, we'll never wake up to the reality of the need and our responsibility for it. Amen. People will never know. Guys, real people have real problems and need a real God. And if we're dedicated to living in our comfort zone, we'll never do our part to help reach them with this great big God who loves them so much and wants to make them faultless through the cross. I try. And the light, John 1, 5 and 8, 5 through 8, shines in the darkness. What shines in the darkness, church? The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. There was a man sent from God whose name was?
John.
Come on. There was a man sent from God whose name was?
John.
I want you to say and fill in your own name. There was a man or a woman sent from God whose name was? Boom out your name. Kevin. Sent from God. This man came for
a witness.
We make that so complicated. Come on, Pastor Gab, give us a 14-lesson series on how to do evangelism. Just be a witness. You know what that means? It means a witness about, here's what happened in my life. Let me tell you a story. Here's what happened in my life. It's just not that hard. I don't have to give 14 steps. Just love Jesus and love somebody else and tell them what's happened for you. Simple. But we've got to get out of our comfort zone to do it. That all through him might believe. He was not that light. John wasn't that light, but he was sent to bear a witness of that light. The light shines in darkness the best. It's getting dark. That word in there doesn't just mean darkness flees because a light switch turns on, but it means the light didn't comprehend it. The Greek is all about there's no understanding. Their eyes can't see it. They can't hear it. So you pray and you ask God to open their eyes and let them see and receive the light that comes in. How many realize terrorism is no new thing? Jesus came right in the day when terrorism raged in the world. The Romans were horrible people. The Assyrians were terrible people. They would take captured people and they would skin them alive. They were horrible people. And fearmongers. And the Romans were brutal. Did they accomplish some good thing?
Yeah.
So the Greeks, brutal. Terrorism. And God said, time for me to be there.
Yes.
And what's interesting, terrorism and terrorists today simply have better media coverage. Yeah. You know, they got They got internet, goes around the world, satellite, television, broadcasting, goes all around the world, but the same fear is being spread. It's demonic and it's depraved, and man does depraved things to other people and brutalizes other people. And how many know it doesn't stop by legislation, it stops one heart at a time by people coming to Jesus. I want you to read out loud. In fact, I'd like you to stand with me and read out loud these verses. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. Remain standing for just a moment. You have to understand that to tell someone the truth about the sin in their life lovingly is not the same thing as condemning them. You're not condemning somebody to tell them the reality that there's a heaven and a hell. Truth opens eyes and gives us the avenue of response. God didn't send Jesus to try to send everybody to hell. But He sent Him to get everybody saved. Amen. You got anybody around you in your family? On your block?
Yes.
In your communities? Your cities? Your state? Your nation? That needs to be saved? Be seated, please. For God so loved the world. God so loved that He came to us. One point at a time, Pat, if you please. That He came to us. Thank you. God is here. No matter how difficult it gets, God is here. Someone say amen. Amen. God is not an absentee God. He wants to still be involved with people. He came and He came into your life and He came into mine and He wants to come into everybody's life. He sees you. He knows you. He knows your tough time. And you say, well, then why would He allow it? God created us to make choices. And man makes a lot of choices that are stupid choices. I've made a lot of stupid choices. Anybody else in this room? You ever say that to yourself? That was stupid. Thank God for a gracious God. Amen? Our world marches on without Him step by step. We wonder why we have problems. Because only God can change the heart. God came in the form of Jesus, for God so loved. What He wants people to know is that He loves them no matter what they've done. There is no one too hard for Jesus to reach. That He gave His only Son. Jesus, the Son of God, conceived by the Virgin Mary, conceived by the Holy Spirit, born as a baby in a manger in Bethlehem, grew to be the man who bore His cross to Calvary, died, was buried, and rose again. Took your sins and He took mine, took your shame and He took mine, died in your place and He died in mine. Sin is real. People get hurt. There's real cost. And Jesus paid the price that He gave. That whosoever believes should not perish, but have everlasting life. Whoever. Whoever. You, me. Your worst cousin. The family member you're so embarrassed to have in your family. All right, that might be you and me. But church, He wants to give us life forever. How many understand? Do you really understand that when your physical life ends here, you will live on in eternity?
That's right.
Forever? It doesn't just end here. Are you ready to meet Jesus?
Amen.
Are you ready? Then it's our job to help somebody else get ready.
That's right.
Are you ready? Everlasting life. Christians, like John, live as witnesses. The sad thing, I mean, it's sad because You know, in America, we have nice provisions, and it's comfortable. And it's sad because we don't want to give up our friends and family and our provisions. And that's hard. But when it says living as witnesses, do you understand that Greek word is martus? Or there's other variations of it. But you know what that word is in English? Martyr. Are you willing? Are we willing? Sometimes, come on, church, let's face it. Let's just get gut-level honesty. Sometimes we're not willing to be embarrassed in front of our friends and family to share Jesus, to invite to church, or whatever it might be. We just don't want to be embarrassed. And in the early church, when they had so surrendered their life and the Romans were throwing them to the lions in the Colosseum, the truth is, they argued about it together as Christians, sitting there waiting to go in and about whose turn it would be next. No, it's my turn. I'll go. I'll go. That's crazy. But they counted it an honor to die for their Lord. I don't want any of us to die for Jesus. I want us to live for Him.
Amen.
But should it happen? My heart broke. Our hearts broke. With the young man and his wife and their little baby, and the cement girder comes off and took their lives in an instant. And then I stopped long enough to say, we found out they were youth pastors, dedicated Christians. And I thought, I don't mean this callous, guys. Who better? You know, I wish it had never happened, but who better? They knew right where they were going. But a young life snuffed out. I don't want it to happen to any of us. But are we willing to understand that life here is not all there is? We'll live forever. People are dying, and we need to let them know about Jesus. He doesn't want any to perish, but have everlasting life. But Jesus, He's got the answer. Jesus is the answer. Come on, say it with me and boom it out. Jesus is the answer. In these hardest to reach places, hardest to reach places. Are you aware that He's sending dreams and visions in Iran and Iraq and with these Muslims? They're coming to Jesus because they see Him in their dreams. And we get afraid for our own lives, and understandably so. And Jesus says, okay, it's all right, kids. I'll take care of it.
Yeah.
Now, He still wants us to go.
Yeah.
But He's doing something. We have a big job. I'm going to talk about something. And I want to put it in this context. God is a big God. And we are in the middle of a rapidly shifting culture right here in America. And you need to know it. And I need to talk about it. Whether you know it or not, millions of Christians around our country are involved in fasting and prayer right now, between now and the 28th. Because on the 28th of this month, the U.S. Supreme Court will be taking up the right of marriage, the Defense of Marriage Act. For 30 years, there's been a law in the book for thousands of years, normal, biblical living that continues to keep society moving forward, is the foundation of marriages with one man and one woman. The Bible says in Genesis, a man shall leave his father and mother and cleave unto his wife.
Yes.
Children come as a result. Ensuing generations come as a result. Now, when I say this, I'm going to say this with strength. But you know my attitude. If you don't, I'm going to say it again. We are here to love everybody.
That's right.
Come on, church. We're here to love everybody.
Amen.
But it doesn't matter. One degree of sin doesn't matter. Sin is sin. If you're a fornicator, you're in sin. If you're involved in adultery, you're in sin. If you're involved in homosexuality, that's a sin from which Jesus wants to forgive you and deliver you. And our country is saying, don't you dare call it sin. That's a hate crime. And it's not a hate crime to tell somebody, here's sin. You need to come out of it. Here's deliverance. Here's salvation. That's the greatest love you can give somebody. But we are wrong if we think we can put our heads in the sand and not acknowledge what's happening. I urge you to join me over these next few days. Pick a time, whether it's one meal, one day, 2 days, pick a time to fast and pray. Because it won't take very much farther for that rule and law to change in our land before it is against the law to preach the biblical morality, and therefore jail time comes. Joseph was involved in being a chaplain. You should read the stories of trying to be a chaplain for Jesus Christ in the U.S. military now. It is shameful how the gospel has been shut down. But that's where we live. Now, we shouldn't be surprised. We shouldn't. But we can be grieved. And we can pray. So the Lord said through Joel, "Turn to me with all your heart, with fasting and weeping, with mourning. Rend your heart and not your garments. Turn unto the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, of great kindness, and it repents him of the evil. Who knows if he will return and repent and leave a blessing behind him, even a meat offering and a drink offering unto the Lord your God. Blow the trumpet in Zion, sanctify a fast, call a solemn assembly." And we sing the warfare Bible song chorus out of it, but we don't recognize that the context of the verse is, "Blow ye the trumpet in Zion, it's time to call a fast. It's time to repent. It's time to mourn and gather the assembly and sanctify yourselves and straighten up and stand up, men and women, and stand before God and call into account your own life and stand before God for your nation and repent." When God sends judgment to a land, his people are not exempted. People who cavalierly say, "Fine, let him do whatever," do not realize you don't want to live in that country. We will. We are. But it'll only get worse unless 2 Chronicles 7:14 occurs. "If my people, who are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and turn from their wicked ways and seek my face, then I will heal their land. And I'll restore to you the years the locust has eaten." America, I believe, and I'm going to say it straight, is in the midst of judgment right now. The U.S. Supreme Court hears the oral arguments on April 28. Oral arguments for and against redefining marriage in America. Though marriage between a man and woman has existed since the beginning and is the cornerstone of ordered society, the time-honored institution is in serious trouble. Before federal judges began to overturn marriage law, 30 states had protected natural marriage in their constitutions. I would like for you to distribute these, and you can just take them if you would and hand them out. Everybody's welcome to take one. I think there's probably enough if you'd pass one out to everybody. Just tuck it away in your Bible, and I want you to really be urged to pray. We have a responsibility, church. I know we're not called to living in this life forever, but we are here. We're living in the world, but we're not of the world. And we thank God that in our nation's history, we have been the freest land on earth to be able to worship the Lord and be able to walk with Him. You know, you've all heard the things lately, and I'm going to come to a close here in about another hour. You've all heard the things that have happened lately. Christians being really, it's a purposeful, strategic plan of approach from the most radical of the gay lesbian agenda, who are going into Christian bakers and demanding their cakes be made for their gay weddings. And you heard about the pizza company, a sweet, sweet family that had to just finally shut down their pizza business. because they were asked to come and cater. And they said to these people, in fact, they weren't asked to come and cater. Do you know how that story really goes? Thank you, brother. The story really goes, someone called them and asked them, would you, if you were asked, do this? I haven't seen too many weddings catered with pizza, but they were asked, would you do this if you were asked? And he said, we will serve anybody. Anybody comes in through our doors, it doesn't matter if you're gay or straight. We'll deliver the best pizza we know how to make. We're here to help people. We've served people forever. It's never been an issue. But you're asking if I would come and cater this wedding, and that goes contrary to my beliefs. That's all it took. And then they took him to court, and the judge found against him that he was in violation. And so from now on, you're supposed to serve no matter who, no matter what. It doesn't matter coming through the door. You don't have the right to any personal conviction. Now, that's what that judge said. Do you realize there was also somebody else who was asked to bake this wedding cake? They said no. The judge said you were wrong. You can't stand for your convictions. Do you know? And let me just say this. Try to say this carefully. Do you know that shortly thereafter, when that bakery was told they couldn't do this, they were supposed to pay a fine and violate their conscience, from then on, they sent somebody else in to a bakery owned by someone who was of the gay and lesbian agenda. Again, we love everybody. I'm just telling you what had occurred. And that person asked them to bake a cake that had scripture references on it that were against homosexuality and pro-life. And that baker said no. They went to the same judge, the same court of law, and that judge says that baker is in their rights. They can turn you down and say no. Church, when you throw away the Bible, you throw away morals and compass and life. Now, we love everybody. I'm going to tell you something just came out from a Catholic father who's a priest who said, here's how to handle this. I actually love this. I do. I love this. Because we're not here to serve for color of skin and background, but I understand and give room for people to respond according to their convictions. But this Catholic priest just came out and said, I got an answer for this whole thing. He says, when they come in to your Christian place and will you bake this cake, here's what you do. You go, you bet. My people, if this is, you want us there during that event, we're Christians, you know we're Christians, you've come to us because we're Christians. My people will smile, they will serve you, they will put on the very best event they can, but realize they're going to be wearing the cross and the Holy Family will be emblazoned on their shirts. And when we arrive on our truck that has all sorts of things on the side, we're going to come playing Hail Mother Mary and we're going to be playing Christian songs at the wedding. And we're just bold, and because you've asked us as Christians, that's how we're going to come and serve you. And then we'll take the money you've offered to us and paid us, and we're going to donate that money to pro-family and pro-life causes. And then we're going to take out an ad in the paper, and we're going to thank you for letting us serve you and that we were able to donate because of you. I thought it was a great solution. Listen, guys. The grievous thing is, we don't hate anybody. We love everybody. I think we've talked about this a lot of times over the years, and the problem is agendas that are being served. And the right as a Christian to stand is being reduced further and further and further. Now, let me say one further thing. Don't be surprised. Jesus said, if they treat the master this way, they're going to treat his disciples this way. Okay? We do everything we can to stand. We do everything we can to show people that God loves them, that he gave his son, and we stand up for that which is right. From the cross to God's kingdom. From the cross to God's kingdom. Understand the hour is late in which we live. Number two, live beyond yourself. Number three, believe he is the answer. And we're going to come back to that one. Number four, give him away. People need him all around us. Our family, our friends, our neighbors, our community, our city, our state, our nation, our county. People need the Lord. Number five, pray like your very life depends on it. Because it does. And God hears prayer. In the remaining time we have left, no matter how long or short, our best efforts should be given to prayer. Prayer in the language you understand, praying in the Spirit, praying in tongues, letting the Spirit of God pray through you with sighs and groanings that cannot be uttered. In prayer, we cooperate with God, and prayer changes things. God uses an avenue of prayer to change things. Get involved, give and contribute, stand strong. Listen, you guys, people are going to be standing up for political campaigns in the next 2 years, you know. They're going to bomb you with phone calls and messages to give, and their message isn't eternal.
That's right.
But you have the message that is.
Amen.
You have the one that is. Believe God is able. God is able to love through you and me people that don't want who we have. But as they see our consistency, hopefully they'll stand and say, there's something you have that I need. And His name is Jesus. Believe God is able. Believe. I know I said it twice because I want us to see it. Believe that He's able. For with God, please quote it with me, nothing is impossible. The verse is up here. But Jesus looked at them and said to them, with men this is impossible. With God, all things are possible. I'm going to close with one more story. You wonder if prayer's enough. You wonder if God can do anything. Can it all turn around? It's all bad news. Can anything turn around? I want to tell you about South Korea's church's 7-day service. Sundays are simply not enough. For one church in South Korea, meeting only once a week on Sundays is hardly enough. Myeosung Church in Seoul, or in Seoul, gathers for early morning prayer every day, and they've been doing it for 35 years. They hold 4 church services every morning on a daily basis. Christians, they say, cannot live without faith and prayer even for a moment. I believe morning prayer is God's blessing for us, so I'm joyfully attending to the gathering even though the church is far and it takes long. Since Reverend Kim started the church in 1980, it has grown to more than 120,000 members. And he credits it all to prayer and unyielding commitment to historic Christian truths. It's the largest Presbyterian church in the world. It's planted 24 churches, supports more than 500 missionaries in 63 countries, supports a children's home, a hospital, and other social ministries. Listen, church, Jesus can do it.
Amen.
Jesus isn't defeated here.
No.
But we got a big job. Can you say that with me? We have a big job. You believe it?
Amen.
But we have an even bigger God. God is great. And all the time,
God is great.
Stand with me. Father, we pray this morning for Pastor Saeed in Iran. We pray that you will strengthen him. And Lord, we know there are Christians all around the world just like him who are facing imprisonment and persecution and death because of their walk with you. We ask you to strengthen him, to encourage him, to help him, and let him know you're right there with him. Father, we stand and we ask you to forgive us. Forgive us, Lord, for the sins we've chosen to live in and dwell in our nation. Forgive us for not loving enough to share your word and the reality of your word with others. Forgive us for abandoning your word. Lord, we ask you to wash us clean by the blood of Jesus. Lord, we lift up the Supreme Court even as they are facing this issue on the 28th. We pray, O God, that truth will prevail. We pray for our President, Vice President, Congress, the Senate, the House, the Supreme Court, leaders across our land, men and women, that they will hit their knees and come to a place of repentance and cry out, God, heal our land, we pray. And Father, give wisdom to every leader to stand for biblical marriage. Lord, we ask you that common sense and understanding will prevail. It doesn't sacrifice love, but we still need to stand for truth. We put our trust in you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Jesus, today, everything we do, we want to be an act of worship to you. Lord, we love you. We love those that you love. You love the whole world. That's why you came. Jesus, we go from this place today to become more sensitive than ever to your Holy Spirit, to share with the lost, the lonely, the hurting, and the dying. Lord Jesus, we pray that as we stand in love, in truth, Lord, you'll cause great revival to break out in this whole region, in our county, in our state, in our nation. We believe you, Lord. We thank you. We put our trust in you. And by faith this morning, we receive forgiveness for any shallow living we've done. We want to live for you and you alone in Jesus' name. They all said,
Amen.
God bless you and keep you. God smile on you and gift you. God look you full in the face and make you prosper. In Jesus' name, amen. Have a fantastic day in the Lord. Be released.